You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Good afternoon and welcome to Event Talk by Planners for Planners, brought to you by EventInterface.com, an event management and attendee engagement software company. And this is Eric Dye. Today we are with MJ Herson, CEO of LiveWired Events, speaking with us today about using virtual technologies to enhance live events. Herson has reinvented multi-billion dollar campaign events for Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Cornell, Duke, University of Chicago, Texas A&M, and University of Tennessee. Herson Group has won 3 CASE National Circle of Excellence Awards, 1 gold and 2 silver for events for Princeton, Cornell, and Texas A&M. Very impressive. MJ, welcome to Event Talk here on ETN.
Thank you, Eric. It's a real treat to be here with you today, and thanks for inviting me to join this great series of podcasts.
You are very welcome. Good to have you. Now, first of all, MJ, you have a ton of live event production experience with the Herson Group. When did you start seeing a need to start producing virtual events alongside live events?
Well, that's a good question. It was really about 10 years ago we noticed a general trend in the event business that our audiences for just about all live events were beginning to decline. And we started to figure out there were many reasons, but I think the main one was the difficulty and expensive air travel, the security checks, the overcrowded planes, and then there were the hotel expenses and meals on the road. And frankly, I don't think people want to travel as much, period. And this is a big problem for all event planners and our clients. So if they wouldn't come to us, we needed to figure out a way for us to go to them. And the strategy that we were working on was to get back our old audience who did not want to travel anymore and to grow an additional audience more economically by using virtual live stream events. You know, it's quite possible to double your client's audience with a virtual event in combination with a live event and for nearly the same cost. Better yet, you become a hero to your client. Luckily, when we started to do this, at the same time, IT technology and broadband internet was improved very rapidly. So, quite frankly, now nearly everyone in the world has access to high-speed internet connections for high-quality video and interactive events. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I bet you are. The internet is where most of us live. This is where I'm getting my news, my mail, social interactions, meeting friends, networking, planning my calendar, and listening to podcasts, just like we are now. And it's going to be where we're going to go for our events.
So do you think these virtual events will replace live events entirely?
Oh, no, not at all. Nothing is ever going to take the place of a live event, an event that you go to in person. You know, it's the terrific power of the group experience, which moves an audience to take an action. In our case, and for our events, it's to buy something or to give us a contribution to a charity. Think of the last time you went to an athletic event that was live to cheer for your team. That is a much stronger feeling and bond than just staying home and watching the same game on TV, right? So what we're trying with LiveWired Events is to duplicate this personal, live, and interactive, that's the key word, event experience as much as we can.
And how do you do that, by the way?
Oh, now you want to know all our secrets, right? First, we compared our real live events to what we were seeing on live stream services. For me, the live stream was dead and boring, and I could only stay tuned for about 5 minutes at most. And why was that? It was the same show the live audience was watching on the stage, and they weren't bored, so I couldn't quite figure it out. And then one night I woke up in the middle of the night, and I thought, when we go to a live event, we do not just walk into the room, look neither left or right, sit down, watch the presentation and maybe a video, stand up, and silently walk out. And that was the exact experience I was getting from most live stream virtual presentations. I don't know about you or our listeners, but, you know, when I'm invited to an event and when I go to one, I want to look around. I want to meet old friends. I may want to network, make new friends. I might like to go into a special reception room and talk about subjects which interest me. I'd like to learn something new. maybe ask a question from the host and get an answer in real time, be personally recognized by the host, maybe take a tour, or even play a competitive game with some of the other guests. And for God's sake, have a little fun. So that's what my Herson Group team did, and that's what we set out to build, and it turned out to be livewiredevents.com.
Very good. Today we are with MJ Herson, CEO of Live Wired Events, here on Event Talk by Planners for Planners, brought to you by eventinterface.com. MJ, how do virtual events such as produced by Live Wired Event differ from other media?
Well, Eric, I think what we have to keep in mind is that a virtual event is a new media. This is not just a duplication of a live event or a TV show or a video or, heaven forbid, a book. It's not enough just to put up a camera directed to the stage and live stream what happens on stage out to the internet. This media does not work that way, not at all. And if some of our listeners are old enough to remember a musical, but it's on all the time now, called Singing in the Rain, it showed the problems that the people in Hollywood had when they went from the silent movies to the talkies. And this is exactly the change that we're making now and why it's so important to understand the difference. It's also, I mean, for me, this is what's really, really exciting. For the first time that I can think of, your virtual audience is with you in real time, and the communication goes both ways. The audience is no longer just sitting there as a passive observer and listener. It's no longer just sit there, we're going to tell you something. And not only can they talk back and forth to us, but they can communicate now with everyone else at the event. This is tremendously powerful when you think about it. And so that when they're talking to everyone, everyone can participate by listening and being heard all at the same time. It's like being at a real event. I could talk about this for hours, but you really need to see this work in person.
And what are other considerations to think about when producing a virtual event?
Well, there are probably more considerations than I'm going to come up with off the top of my head, but for starters, we rarely produce just a virtual event. Almost always, we produce the virtual event as an add-on to a standard real live event, be it a campaign launch, a new product launch, an anniversary, alumni celebrations, athletic events, you name it. But here's the key. The virtual element has to be thought of as a whole other event. One more time, you cannot just set up a camera and live stream what happens at the podium or on stage. It just doesn't work, and your guests will get bored and leave early, very early. So, number one, if you're going to do virtual events, you need a virtual event producer that is always thinking about the event experience that's going to be on the computer screen, the one the guests are getting. It is next to impossible to be running and producing a real event at the same time as broadcasting and managing the guest interactions of a virtual event. You got to trust me on this one. I've tried it, and it didn't go very well. Number two, be a good host. How many times have we attended a virtual event or a live stream, you arrive a little early or just on time, and nothing's happening? Or you can see people walking around, but there's no audio. And you think and hope they're just running late, but you don't know. You know, I feel this is just rude behavior, and you can lose your virtual audience very quickly. You know, at our live events, generally if guests arrive early, and we know some always do, what do? We let them in, we greet them, we tell them a little about what to expect, let them know that they're at the right place and we're so happy they're with us, and perhaps we even show them to the bar. With the virtual event, we should do all of that. Of course, we can't send them to the bar, but who knows, and have to keep in mind that, you know, they're sitting there in their computer. They're all alone. They don't have anyone else to look to for direction or to know that they're at the right place or any of that. So that gets us to number three, marketing the event. We can't expect a mass mailing of just a regular email a few days before an event's going to attract either a large or the right audience. And by right audience, I mean an audience that's going to buy a product or make a gift to the charity. Just as you do with a live event, take care with the invitation design. Figure out what the hook is for people to attend. Is it other attendees, famous hosts, entertainment, talent, prizes, whatever? Think about what would make you want to come to this event. And number four, make it easy. Use a virtual event service that does all the work for you and your guests, just as Event Interface does for event management. Don't make your guests have to download extra software to see the event or have to call an 800 number on their phones to get audio. They should just be able to click a link, use their password, and in they go. And use a system with automated invitation, RSVP, and software check systems. Number five, and the last one, for heaven's sake, have fun. Interact with all your guests, make connections with other guests to other guests, confound guests' expectations, use Easter eggs. And you're going, what are Easter eggs? Well, some of you probably know this already, but if you don't, an Easter egg is something that we put on the site that people find. And it's a nice little present, or it's a gift, or a surprise. If you're taking a tour and you're controlling the camera, we might put on one of the walls something that would say, the first 100 people who see this and call this 800 number will receive a free mini iPad or a free iTunes or whatever. It's just a surprise, and this makes people stick to the site and also look at everything you've got on the site. And while we're on the topic, our Easter egg for you today is the first five people to write to me, and here's the address. It's just MJ, Matthew James, so MJ at HersonGroup, HersonGroup.com. The first five we hear from will get a chance to try a free virtual event for their organization, and we hope there will be lots of people checking in for that.
Definitely. And finally, what are your top three suggestions for planners considering virtual events?
Oh, boy. My top three suggestions. One, try virtual events. It's kind of new. Not a lot of people are doing it yet. They're going to. So, you know, it's kind of show, don't tell. If you see yourself as being ahead of the wave, try and get in on this virtual event wave. It's going to build bigger audiences for your clients at a small additional cost. But remember, too, it's just a technology. Whether you're doing virtual or real events, for a successful event, you must define, number one, why are we doing this event? What's the objective? Two, what's the message? What do we need to tell our guests? And three, who is our audience? If you can define those three things and think of them while you're planning the event, you're well on your way to a successful event. Number two, remember KISS, keep it simple, stupid. If you are just starting out with virtual events, keep the first few that you're doing very simple. Add more bells and whistles and features as you and your team become more comfortable with the technology. And number three, the one I love the most, and I quote Kurt Vonnegut, always wear sunscreen.
You got to love that. How about telling our folks where they can be in contact with you? I know you mentioned your email address, but to get more information about Live Wired events and the best place to contact once again.
Actually, there are two sites that you can go to. You can go to our parent company, which is Herson, H-E-R-S-O-N, group.com, or you can go directly to livewiredevents.com.
It's been good to have had you. We've been speaking with MJ Herson, CEO of Live Wired Events of the Herson Group, and the website of reference once again is livewiredevents.com. MJ, thanks once again for being with us here on Event Talk on EPN.
Thanks, Eric. I hope you've gotten some good ideas, and the next time we meet, we'll be on Live Wired Events so we can talk, listen, and learn all together, all at the same time.
That sounds like a plan. On the next episode of Event Talk, we will be with Cindy Miller, editor of The Red Book, and she will be discussing how to build successful media relationships and submitting your event stories to the press. Thanks for joining us here on this episode of Event Talk by Planners for Planners, brought to you by EventInterface.com, an event management and attendee engagement software company. And this has been Eric Dye. The show is supported by EventInterface.com, event management and attendee engagement software. Forget registration transaction fees. Start managing registrations and attendees today for a low monthly fee. Sign up at EventInterface.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.